assist you, Governor Kasich.
Thank you.
That looks better. Hey, I am going to talk to you about House Bill 1, but I want to talk to you about sort of the universe. And I do appreciate everybody here. I want to thank Phil. I think Phil's the reason why most of the people are here today, put his shoulder to the wheel. He's a good man. Could you give him a good round of applause? Just to give you a little good news, House Bill 1 just passed the Ohio Senate 31-2. Tremendous bipartisan win. But I really came here not just to talk about that, and we will talk about the bill, and Mark will get up and talk about his mission, his experiences so far. He's been in the government for a total of 4 weeks, so he's never been in government before. It's a pretty interesting story, and then we could take some questions. But I'm really here to talk about the overall program that we have, particularly with a budget, which is coming in a very short period of time. I have a piece of paper, Mark, in my pocket that kind of defines it. The Dallas Morning News, it should be down in my, no, it should be in one of my pockets there. Because this will say it succinctly, I hope it's still in there. Yeah, the Dallas Morning News did an analysis of Ohio. Since 1950, Cleveland and Youngstown have lost more than half their population. Cincinnati has lost 40% of its population. That's almost 10% a year that we're losing people. In the last decade, we lost more than 600,000 jobs. Only two states, Michigan and California, have lost more jobs than that. Within 3 years of graduation, one-third of Ohio's students leave the state. Texas grew dramatically in the last decade. They grew 4 congressional seats. We lost 2. We grew only a little bit, adding 183,000. Texas grew by 183,000 residents in 5.5 months. So we have rising poverty, rising homelessness, stubbornly high unemployment. Investment in Ohio has shrunk. The federal government can report on capital gains taxes paid by Ohioans. It's gone from $12 billion to $3 billion. What does that tell you? It tells you either people are fleeing this state to go somewhere else to exercise their options or their stock or their ownership, and or people are not investing in Ohio anymore. $12 billion to $3 billion. I was just with the CEO of Dayton Power and Light because utility companies today in Ohio have told me that they will not invest in plant and equipment because there is, I said, a small chance they would recover their investment. Paul Barbas said no chance they'd recover their investment. Now, what that could do is to put us in a position of where our plant and equipment and generating stations, which are about 40 years old, have to be replaced. But if you're going to replace them, you're not going to replace them in a state where you're not going to be able to recover your investment. You're going to replace them in a state where you can recover your investment. And that then holds us hostage, doesn't it? People then can decide what they want to charge us to turn on our lights and heat our homes. That is not acceptable. So I faced and said all the way through my campaign, and the campaign is over, I forgot about it the minute after I won, because we had to get to work and trying to figure out what to do to right the state. I mentioned to you capital gains taxes and the revenue collected from Ohioans. If you start LexisNexis, I make this up, I don't know the CEO there, I hope to meet him, but let's say you started it from scratch, and you created many, many jobs, and many families got to, you know, really experience the fruit of your initial labor to build a company where kids could go to school and get educated and realize their dreams. Then the time comes when you retire and you would like to sell some of your investment. If you sell it in Florida, you pay 15% on every $100. If you sell it in Columbus, Ohio, you pay 23%. Anybody want to guess where you're going to live? It's not complicated. Numbers do not lie. And the fact of the matter is we have an environment in our state where our taxes are way too high. Now, there have been efforts made to bring these taxes down and swap taxes out, but not enough. I was with the governor of Tennessee. He said, we have no income tax, we have no regulations, and we have no unions. We're going to steal every job you have. Sounds funny? They're doing a pretty good job. So we have to figure out how we're going to compete. And that is why when I face an $8 billion budget shortfall, I have a couple options. One is I can raise taxes, okay? I'm not going to do that because Director Kwame gets into office, and on his very first day, he has three companies that are telling him they're going to have plant closures. We don't worry so much about India. We worry about Indiana stealing our jobs. We worry about Kentucky stealing our jobs. We worry about North Carolina, Georgia, Texas. And they come aggressively at this state, and they come every single day. And by the way, I don't even like to think about NCR. It's like blowing a hole in the city to lose that operation. We can't afford to lose anymore. So I am not going to permit the raising of taxes. In fact, I am going to fulfill a promise I made and maintain the tax cut that we received on January 1 that pushed our income tax under 6%. Now, I don't believe that's good enough because the income tax paid by small business, which is the greatest job creator, makes those people pay at the personal rate. It discourages job creation. And we also don't have that capital gains differential. So all income is treated as regular income. So if you want to cash out your stock, you go down and live on the west coast of Florida where you can visit all your friends who have moved down there in Naples. I mean, I don't go anymore because I see too many Ohioans. I'd rather stay here. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I have to be careful about things I say. But that's what happens. I mean, literally a lot of people leave. So I'm not going to raise taxes in this state. And so what I need to do is figure out really two things. One is I have to restructure the entire government of the state of Ohio. And in restructuring the state of Ohio, my goal is to provide a better product at a lower price for our people. Now, let me give you one example. And Bob could probably, Governor Taft could probably talk to you, rhyme, give you a chapter and verse of the fights to try to create a different path for our senior citizens. Today, if your mom needs help, she's likely to go in a nursing home because there's not enough resources for mom to stay at home and get help. If mom qualifies for a nursing home, she ought to be able to choose to stay in her own home and get some help at a much lower cost in a place where she's a lot more comfortable. Don't you think that makes sense? They haven't done that. You know why? Politics, lobbyists, special interests. We don't have time for that. Not in this crisis. Sentencing reform. Do you know that about half of the people that are in our state prisons today are in prison for less than 1 year? So what we do, by the way, you know, they just charged a lady up in Akron with a felony because she wanted to put her kids in a school where she felt they were more secure, more safe. It's unbelievable. We do not want to put people in the state prison who are going to sit next to hardened criminals. That ultimately drives up the recidivism rate. So if we can house people who break the law in a setting where the public is safe and the costs are significantly lower, we need to do that. That's called restructuring. It's a better result for a lower price. And we look across the entire government of the state, Medicaid. We are actually trying to get all the interested parties, all the stakeholders, who have an interest in Medicaid to work together to produce a better product at a lower price. And that means encouraging people to get primary care service rather than to end up in the emergency room. It involves getting people to focus on the part of the population that drives healthcare costs the highest. It involves getting all the stakeholders together and fashioning in a Medicaid plan that must be done, because if Medicaid grows unabated, it will consume 49% of our budget. And we have a great team that is working on this and doing this. But restructuring can only take you so far. Cuts are inevitable in this budget. Just like a business cuts, just like your family cuts, there will be cuts. But what we're trying to do to help people who are going to be impacted with fewer dollars is to give them the tools that they need to cope. So one of the controversial, frankly, one of the things they write about, is it controversial, is that we should not have outsiders come into our cities and impose in a binding arbitration costs on a city that a city cannot afford. We should not have public employees that strike. You've got 9% plus Ohioans who are not even working. So what I favor is eliminating binding arbitration, going through fact-finding so the public can understand what's on the table, eliminating the right to strike, and restoring a set of balance and equity between the public employees and the private folks who pay their benefits. That's my goal. Now, what we really want to do is to give management of our cities, of our communities, of our school districts, the tools that they need to manage their costs. That is not an assault on anybody. That is an effort being driven for the purposes of being able to let people manage their budgets. Because if you drive your costs up too high and you drive your taxes up, how many businesses do you think are going to come locate in your city? The answer to everything that ails this state are jobs. Jim Rhodes had it right 50 years ago. It's jobs. So we're going to give people the tools they need to cope. We're going to have transformation. We're going to lower the taxes. And as we're doing all of that, we're going to get ourselves in a position of where we begin to reduce mindless regulation that makes it difficult for a person to start a small business, permits, bureaucracy, red tape, fees, and everything. We've got to clear the brush so entrepreneurship is encouraged. And we also want to make sure that we use our universities, which create knowledge workers, which are a great asset for this state, so we can sell companies on how great we can be here if they come here, because we got smart people. And our universities need to do research and development and commercialization so that the professors aren't being paid to write another piece of paper that sits on a shelf that we find 40 years from now. We need to transform the way they do business, and helping us transform the way we do business in this state. To all of that end, Mark Kwame comes in from the Silicon Valley. He's at first a CEO and an entrepreneur. He's worked for one of the most successful venture capital operations in the world. Number one, really. Google, PayPal, Zappos, probably nobody in here pays much attention to shoes, but they were an initial investor in Zappos. Mark was an initial investor in a little tiny company called LinkedIn. Okay? I was in his office one day, and a guy with a ponytail and ripped blue jeans ran out the door. Before we could grab him, Mark said, "This man's starting a company." I said, "What's it called?" He said, "You've never heard of it, but you will." He said, "What's the name of it?" YouTube. So Mark has come in here to take a department of development that's become calcified. I mean, it's been around for 50 years. And what we are proposing on Jobs Ohio is that we create a board of directors of the best job creators in the state. I just appointed Bruce Langos to the Third Frontier Board, CEO of Teradata. Smart guy, knows how to create jobs. We want to get the best job creators on the board, and then we want to hire people underneath them who can go over to Wright-Patterson and talk about nanotechnology with this colonel. And somebody that can come here and talk to the CEOs of the major defense contractors about the aeronautics program at Wright-Patterson. And at the same time, get the congressional delegation to frankly weigh in and do teamwork to make sure that Ohio gets its fair share, which we're currently not getting, because we haven't been quick enough, light enough, or visionary enough to get it done. Now, we cannot, and we, Jobs Ohio, I mean, I'm just amazed, in the Ohio House of Representatives, we did not receive any bipartisan support. And yet today, working, 31-2, I cannot tell you, and I'm so excited about it on multiple levels. I'm excited about the Democrat leaders who decided to support a signature program of a Republican governor. It takes courage. Number two, I'm also excited about the fact that maybe we can stop the incessant partisanship that divides this country. It wasn't like that 10 years ago when I was in the Congress. We could get along. There's famous stories of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, you know, going at each other all day long and in the evening, having a nice drink of Irish whiskey. We can fight, but we got to search for the better, higher purpose of public service. So I'm very excited about that vote. We cannot tax ourselves to prosperity, nor can we, in the end, cut our way to prosperity. We need to create a platform where people can be successful, where somebody believes that they can be an entrepreneur and create a job and then ultimately hire people. Jobs Ohio can help us to do that. The Third Frontier can help us to do that. And we have great assets around the state. And I'll just pitch a few of them, and then I'm going to let Mark speak, and then we'll take some questions. Right here, this is a gem that we have. But Wright-Patterson is not all we have here. But we have not done enough to be able to access the incredible work that they do there in so many different fields with four or five of the greatest laboratories in the world. And to that end, we met today, and we're going to continue to meet with the Dayton Development Group and with Phil, to come up with three or four things that we can do to get three or four wins somehow. And I would encourage any of you, if you know somebody that you think might be interested in creating a job in this town, we want to know about it. We want you to call us. We have a goal of all calls returned within 48 hours. I mean, I don't know how that's going because I don't even know my own phone number right now because we're so new in office. But that is our goal. And we all have to pitch in together. But we got an aquifer here. And I mentioned Teradata and LexisNexis and the great universities that are here. We have a lot of really significant things in this area that we can leverage if we work together and think together about what we want to be. In the eastern part of the state, we have the possibility of Marcellus and Utica Shale. It's a gas that has such potential that if it turns the way it could transform the eastern part of Ohio. In southern Ohio, we have hard workers, the ability to have high productivity and low costs, and access to transportation if we ever could figure out that you really could actually use a river to move things. I said to my transportation director, I know you only fund concrete highways. Have you ever heard about a water highway? He said, well, what's that? Well, I said, on a concrete highway, you have a car, and on a water highway, you have a boat. Because Toledo is on the western edge of the Great Lakes and the access to the ocean. They need to have a harbor there that works. Created First Solar in Toledo. At one point, it was a skyrocket on the New York Stock Exchange. They have a fine medical school. They have intermodal activity up there where they can move things off rail and put it on trucks and put it in water. You know, in Columbus, you got Cardinal Health and Battelle, and we did kick a little butt last night. I like to see over Michigan State at the basketball game. That was fun. But when we look around Cincinnati with Procter and Gamble and. And when we look across the University of Cincinnati, when we look across the state, we think about financial services and banking. and health care in Cleveland with the Cleveland Clinic and University Hospital and Case Western Reserve, medical device companies. See, if we can leverage what we have in our region and at the same time all work together, lower the cost of doing business, eliminating the friction that holds entrepreneurship back, creating this Jobs Ohio that can move like lightning on its feet, we can get Ohio fixed. We can get it going again. But we have to think outside of the box. You got a vacant building in downtown Dayton? Somebody wants to start a business? I don't know why you'd tax them. You'll get the payroll tax. Why would you want to tax somebody? You know, you want to have an enterprise zone outside the fence of Wright Pat. You put a business in there, you don't pay anything. You hire people, they pay taxes in their community. It's outside the box. Sell the Turnpike, which is a separate country in Ohio. You can net out perhaps as much as $2.5 billion. You put $1 billion in infrastructure to fix roads and bridges and harbors and rivers. That's the way we have to think. And I think we have a great window of opportunity to get this done. Now, there's going to be a lot of naysayers. I hope not as many as I think there might be. But I have to get you to understand, I don't care about the politics. Oh, I care about the politics, because if you don't care about the politics, you're going to make a big mistake. You're going to get hammered. But the politics, for my benefit, doesn't matter to me. I didn't go into this so I could keep being in this, you know? And I couldn't believe they let you in that little secret that I used to work for Lehman Brothers. I didn't want anybody to know that. The point of the story is our best days are ahead of us. A lot of people, I want to take it back. Some people who will fight this agenda will show up. You won't. Because you're like pulling the wagon. But there are going to be a few moments when we're going to ask you to come and show your support. Your support of House Bill 1 was significant, made a difference. To have some allies there and not just people who say, no, we can't make any changes, it's too hard. The ultimate end, though, lift our folks. Give our kids a chance. I went to Youngstown after that horrific shooting. 11 kids shot in a after-hours party. They're college students. Oh, were they there late? Were you ever there late, George? Some tell me you're still there late, George. Okay. Young African-American, I asked him if he ever rode in a car with a governor before. He said, no, he really hadn't. By the way, I met with a third grade yesterday, one of the schools in Ohio, and, you know, you can tell them you're governor, but I tell them I'm president of Ohio, and they get that. But we're riding in the car. The security man who is with me, become a friend of mine, says to Carl, you ever see anything like this before? He said, no, but 5 of my friends have been killed by guns. We can't have that in our cities, in our core. And the answer, education, jobs, mentorships, these are the things that will matter for our community. And we ought to be a leader in it. And I tell you one thing, we are going to fight like crazy out of the governor's office to make sure this gets done.